Okay, we are still early, huh? So you just relax yourself, maintain some form of relaxed attention. Those who are offering the puja, you can make your offering. I understand tonight mainly the clan group, they are the main people doing the puja. So tonight we got a lot of very nice offering. So we should learn to rejoice in all this wholesomeness, generosity and goodness. We will start in another 1 or 2 minutes time. So in the meantime, if you got any question, you can bring it up or ask, then we can discuss it. If you don't have, you should actually look at the whiteboard. The whiteboard has a lot of important Dhamma notes and pointers. So you can understand them, then it will help you in a great way to develop the cultivation. They may appear like very simple, but the key understanding, if you can understand them, it will allow you to break free. It can bring about transformation. Just a few key things only. Mainly the essential dhammas, 5 spiritual faculties and 5 hindrances. Then after that, you have the 3 turnings of the Four Noble Truths. Then you need to understand what is heedfulness. The Buddha has emphasized on heedfulness in many, many places in his teaching. So if you can understand heedfulness, you will understand his teaching, and you will progress very fast when you have the spiritual faculty and the heedfulness. Then the 4 important support for awareness-based meditation are also very important. Relaxed, aware, then 24-hour continuous daily mindfulness, continuous silencing of mind. Then the last one is when you are already very developed in your meditation, only you can do. The last one is trust, where there is no interference from the thought or the thinking. It's just the silent nature develop the meditation. So while you begin your training, you don't have to worry about the 4 support. You just develop the first 2, then stabilize it. The 24 hour, the meaning is to just maintain the awareness, the silence. That's why go into the silence more and more. Don't try to know. The thought is the one that try to know. And when you meditate with the thought, you will find it very difficult to penetrate the Dhamma, to understand the Dhamma. But the truth, which is the Dhamma that the Buddha proclaimed, is akaliko, timeless, beyond thought, beyond time. So if you don't have that clarity of understanding, and you use thought as your instrument to develop the meditation, then it becomes thought-based meditation. And thought-based meditation cannot realize the state of enlightenment that is beyond thought, beyond mind. So bearing that in mind, you will come to understand why you need to silence your mind more and more. Before you silence, you must have the ability to relax into every mind state that arises. If you cannot relax, means there are stress within the mind. That's why relaxing into every mind state is the real cultivation. If you can be at peace with all mind state, and you can relax into it, so that body and mind perfectly in good harmony and perfectly relax, so that there is no thought, there is no craving, desire or becoming. It is just silent. And to do that, you need a lot of understanding, a lot of wisdom born of cultivating the Buddha Dhamma. That's why the bracket note, don't try to know. Then strike on your heedfulness, apamadena, sampadeta, all these are very important pointer. So heedfulness is two part. There are two parts to it. First part is ever mindful. Then use that mind that is trained, that is ever mindful, to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is Noble Eightfold Path. So you do that, you will progress very well and very fast. Then initially, for those who still haven't trained your mind, you need to train your mind so that the mindfulness, which is a spiritual faculty, can come about, and you have to stabilize it. The moment it's stabilized, you become ever mindful. Then sati, when stabilized, becomes samadhi. So this is how you develop the training of your mind. Then only you can really penetrate the teaching. Okay, now we will start the puja. 8:15. Those who are responsible for lighting the candle, you nominate two from client side. Who haven't done, or you want to nominate somebody? Yeah, client side. Yeah. Richard and Kelly. Yeah, come. Oh, she is new from client also. Oh, you can come and light. You join Richard. Come. Maybe three of you. Kelly or no, sorry, Nancy. Yeah, I pronounced wrongly. Nancy, come. Nancy, come. I need to move this whiteboard a bit. Move your leg a bit. Yeah. Okay. Good. Like that, enough space. Yeah. Off the fan, off the fan. Just off the fan at the back. Okay. So there. In the meantime, you all can line up. You can face each other if you want to, if the line is too long. Okay, good. We can offer the tree. We start with the tree. The whole tree. The incense, the clear water, and the candle. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 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 Sadhu, 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 sadhu 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 sadhu. Never mind, just pass it on, pass it on. Sadhu 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 sadhu. Never mind, just pass it on, they will like it later. Sadhu 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 sadhu. Never mind, never mind, yeah, they will like it here, over here. Sadhu 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 sadhu. Just like it, like it. Put it in front and like the other one. Sadhu 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 sadhu. Pamasuri, you take the next one. Just have to put it back. Arrange it. One more here. Sadhu 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 sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, thank you so much. Yeah? You can go back to your place. Then let's be seated. Then we will start the homage to the triple gem before we start the puja. Mm. We will chant the Thai style. Yeah? Maintain sada virya. Then we pay respect mindfully to the triple gem. Arahang sama sambuto bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Suwakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami. Supatipanno bhagavato sāvaka sāṅgho saṅghaṁ namāmi. Okay, you can now be seated. Then we will start the puja chanting. Turn to page 4. We will start off with the vandana. You can sit anywhere, huh? They also just came in. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Saṅghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi saṅghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi saṅghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Pānāti pātā vairamani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Ādīna dānā vairamani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Kāmesu micācārā vairamani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Usāvādā vairamani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Surāmeraya majjhapamādatthāna vairamani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Now we will chant the Padipa Puja, which is the offering of light. Gandhasārapadithena Dipena tamadang sina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang ganda sambara yutena ดูเปนหังสุกังหินะปูจายะปูจานิยังตังปูจาบาจานะมุตตมังวันนากันดะกุโนเปตังเอตังกสุมาสันตทินปูจายามิมุนินดาสสิริปาดสารโรเหปูจายมิปุตตังกสุเมนาเนนาปุณเณนามเตนาเชโหตุโมคังปูปังมิลายะติยะตาอิดังเมกายโยตตายะติวินาสบาวังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตปานิยังปริกาปิตังอนุกัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาตุมุตตมังเขตันตุ page 18 the last page we shall chant the aspiration we are understanding the significance of all this puja offering significance of offering of light may this offering of light to the puja brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance there significance of offering of water may this offering of pure clear cool water lead us to the pure clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fire of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, which is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruits of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with faithfulness to attain the path and fruition soonest possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of our body, so that we were diligent and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Significance of, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of this offering, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until it becomes balas or powers, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the conditions and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will pay respect to Triple Gem. Compose your mind. Buddhang Pujemi. Dhammang Pujemi. Sanghang Pujemi. Okay, now you can be seated. Then we can resume our meditation session. Okay, tonight, maybe before we start, I got something to share with you all. Do you all observe today's puja offering or not? It's quite unique. And I had a lot of joy because somehow you all offered so many of these very unique type of fruits. And when I saw them, I realized, wow, this is very good. what they call sign. Means there will be a lot of friction this year. Many, many fruits of different type. So this is good sign. So when you offer with understanding and joy, then the condition is such, even on the same tree, you realize that tonight, very unique, they got two or three fruits, all very different one down there. And they are beautiful. Some I haven't seen before. So simple puja offerings. But when you have this understanding, you can feel it. It's meant to be something so that you can develop understanding. And a lot of things that happen is not by chance. You may think it's, kam ngam yo kam kyu. But the world is never like that. The world is always like what the Buddha said. Whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions behind. And this is a very profound truth. So that is the general statement. There are causes and conditions behind. But the five daily contemplation, the last one, the Buddha asks you to reflect and contemplate daily each and every living being, regardless of who you are. You are all born of your karma, heir to your karma, condition is supported by your karma, and you are what you are because of your karma. So you know how to link and connect all this beautiful message and sayings of the Buddhas, Sakyamuni Buddhas, beautiful teaching. You will come to realize that a lot has to do with karma. That's why I say there is no such thing as kam ngam yo kam kyua. Whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions behind, and the main one is karma. That's why you don't take care of karma, you will have problem in life. Based on the fifth contemplation, you will come to know what decides your life is mainly karma, because we are all born of it. We have inherit them. Then we are what we are because of this. Then every moment, every instant, we are conditioned and supported by this karmic nature. So law of karma is very powerful. Karma is very important to the form and mind, to every living being's life. Because when you come to this world, this universe, you will come with this karmically conditioned form and mind. And you do not develop the understanding and the wisdom to cultivate accordingly, you will be afflicted. Suffering will be the result. And most of the time, you will be heedless because you don't understand this teaching. But when you understand this teaching, you pay attention to your life, then you will determine to do the needy or the appropriate things that you need to do. Means you really need to reflect on karma and take deep care of karma so that it can really make a difference to your life. It can bring about great condition for wholesomeness to arise, for blessings to be abundant, for wisdom to arise. And merits has a lot of usage. Even understanding this law of karma, the first right view, can bring forth so much important understanding for you to develop the cultivation. So when you move in the correct direction, you will reap the appropriate fruits. That's why the fruition of karma, fruition of your hard work, they will bring about great transformation in the living being, character-wise, personality-wise, understanding-wise. That's why living being can really, before you pass away, develop the ability to awaken to enlighten, so that you can leave the beautiful third phase of Dhamma Pativeda, the life of a noble being. So tonight, this important sharing, you bear in mind, so that you can strive on with heedfulness to develop the training. And it is possible, because this era of ours is very, very special. The Buddha Sasana is not only existing. There are causes and conditions that has arisen for those who have the affinity to actually progress very, very fast along the path of Dhamma. So all these are very wholesome conditions. So I hope you all can make full use of it and determine to strive on with heedfulness. You only need three things. Be sincere, sincerity, then develop the faith. Then just persevere, cultivate. Don't try to know. Just train your mind, develop the spiritual faculty, develop the heedfulness. Everything will fall into place. Okay, now we will start the meditation. Anybody who is totally new? Nobody? Then very easy. We off the light. Then you all can start your meditation. For those who need instruction, you can go back and read the blue book so that we save more time. Okay, we will have 20 minutes. So you can immediately start your meditation. Just relax and silence your mind for those who already trained. For those still need to train their mind, you can use some skillful means, like mind sweeping method combined with metta or loving kindness. Then you have developed that training to decondition your heedless thinking and develop the contemplation to develop the spiritual faculty. You will find that you will be more calm, more peaceful. Whereas with the spiritual faculty, the hindrance will be taken care of, and you don't have this habitual thinking, or what they call the heedless thinking, coming back to disturb you. Then you need to stabilize this mind that is already deconditioned from the heedless thinking. You can anchor it to any part within your kaya, any method, technique, or skillful means that you are familiar with, like anapanasati, or even your heartbeat, your rising, falling, dynamic meditation, chanting, or whatever that can develop the faith, leading to the virya and the sati, mindfulness. You only need to anchor the mind to something, the object of meditation, so that it's always with the moment, with that object of meditation, in sati. When it's in sati, it means you are mindful without thought. You just train. Every time the mind wander, bring it back. Wander, bring it back. Not long, the mind will be trained. Anapanasati is the same. Whatever skillful means that you are familiar, use it. Okay, I will let you all meditate. Then I will ring the bell after about 20 minutes time. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have enough, slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. We will continue with our invocation to the devas. Turn to page 6 of your chanting book. I will read the English translation. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the king of sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine.
Samanta Chakravalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Munirajasa Sunantu Saggamokkhadam Dhammasavana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhammasavana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhammasavana Kalo Ayam Badanta
Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammā Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammā Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammā Sambuddhassa Iti peso Bhagava Arahang Sammā Sambuddho Vijja Charana Sampanno Sugato Lokavido Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Satta Deva Manusanam Buddho Bhagavati Svakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehi Paseko Opanaiko Pachatang Veditatbo Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakasango Ujupatipan Vato Sakasango Nyaya patipanno bhagavato savakasango Samichi patipanno bhagavato savakasango Yadidang chattari purisa yukkani Atta purisa pugala Esa Bhagavato Savaka Sango Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakineyo Anjali Karaneyo Anuttarang punya ketang lokasati. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we pay homage to the Triple Gem. Bedang pecumi. Damang pecumi. Sanghang pecumi. Okay. Now we will continue your second session. Do make use of this second session to report your meditation. And if you have any question related to meditation or the Dhamma, or how you would like to apply what you have learned here in the Dhamma to help you understand life and help you overcome whatever life situation or problem that you have, you can ask them. So now we open it up to the floor. Anybody would like to report their meditation, you just put up your hand, we'll pass you the mic. Or you got any question also, you can ask. Everybody's so quiet. So tonight, what do you want to report? You surely must have some meditation experiences, or meditation that you would like to understand deeper. So it is good if you can just report your meditation. Or if there is any Dhamma that you are not clear, that you need explanation or further elaboration, you can ask, make full use of this second session. Yeah, pass to our Susan. Luckily, every time Susan is the one that help to ask most of the time. Pass the mic over, Ingbi. Okay, thanks. Just push it up.
Evening, Brother Teo, all brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
Brother Teo, sometimes in the sitting, the awareness of some form of energies or what you call it, I don't know. Which sometimes there's a tendency to, while being aware, sort of can, will follow the flow.
Yeah.
Of
you're supposed to accord and follow the flow.
So
but this one needs understanding. You describe to me how you do it. Very good.
When it does happen, I'm aware of it.
Yes.
But I'm also aware of the fact that, you know, I try to, in a way, not move according to the flow of.
You try to resist.
Resist as well.
You see, that is a very important reporting, because when you say you try, although you don't use the word resist. Because the trying is always by the thought, always remember. Then that thought actually want to do something, and that is craving, wanting to become that thing. But this is so subtle, you cannot see. At least now you have improved over the early days. The early days, the meditator is very active, trying to do a lot of things. And trying to realize a lot of things, achieve a lot of things. But at least now you already have the understanding that you're supposed to echo and flow. But there is still a mind that resists that flow, try to maintain the upright position, straightness and all those things. This is very normal because the mind will do that. So let me finish this part, then you continue do your reporting. See, when you have this movement, you're supposed to be aware. This is what Sankara is about. This is what thought is all about. This is what the mind is trying to do. It's not you developing the wisdom. It's the mind that wanted to do something. Yet the mind believe that is going to improve your meditation. But when we talk about accord and flow means what? Whatever that arises, you have to understand there are causes and conditions behind. We have to accept that reality, what is. Then we accord and flow means what? Take for example, let's say sloth and torpor, sleepiness. For no reason, it just come. Or itchiness, or pain, or whatever that arises in meditation. These are normally not the good state of mind. That's why sometimes a lot of thinking still, for no reason, all of a sudden it arises. Even Ajahn Mahabhava, you heard of the famous monk in Thailand, who passed away quite recently, a few years back. He wrote in his book, after he has become monk for so long, after he has trained his mind for so long, until it was so beautiful, so radiant, and yet for no reason, all of a sudden, it become like a monkey mind, restless. He couldn't do anything with it. That's why he tried so many ways. He go back to Buddha, to Toye, Tame. Doesn't work. Doesn't work all the time. Then he tried so many ways. Then finally he came to realize that is not the way. This is the mind fighting. The mind trying to achieve peace, silence, stillness, mindfulness. The real meditation is the opposite of this. You don't try to do anything. You just relax, silent, and allow it to be. And when you allow it to be, things become very different. That's why you have to learn to become more and more quiet and silent. Then the four support come in. Whatever state that arises, it is always stress, tension, and the mind trying to do something. That if energy build up, like you say, whatever that happened during meditation, energy will build up because you have been using the mind and the thought for so long. Then even as you sit because of your posture, energy will build up unless you know how to relax and completely silent. Energy will build up. So when they build up, the first support is to relax into every mind state that arises, no matter what it is. Even if it's fantastic concentration, very calm, very peaceful, a lot of piti, a lot of sukha, you just relax into it. Then when there is a lot of tension, stress, or an energy field build up, for those who do energy field, one-pointedness or absorption, remember to relax into it. Those who do energy field, they forgot to relax. They get caught with the energy field and they build it up because it is like very, very extraordinary and very beautiful and you think this is the meditation. So if you don't relax into it, energy will build up, stress will build up. So when you relax into it, you have to maintain the awareness, which is the second support. Then you just accord and flow, just let things be. If nothing happens, you just silent. If something happens, you just relax into it, then maintain awareness. See how long the mind can be quiet, peaceful and silent. See how long you can accord and flow. Even like just now I said, if sleepiness arises, you don't go and arise a thought and try to maintain attention or try to make yourself alert again, or try to like do something to build up the virya and all those things. Forget about it. Just relax, silent, and be with it. Be with it means what? Don't do anything. Just stay aware, silent. Don't try to be aware. Just stay silent. Be with it. Just be with that, whatever mind state, whether it's love or torpor or pain or whatever. When you do not react to it, then you don't create duality. The first two hindrances of mind, sensual desire, ill will, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience, will not be there because you don't label. And because you don't label, you don't create hindrance. And if you can continue to be with it and silent, sati take over, mindfulness take over. And without hindrance, when mindfulness take over, there is no thought. That's why the spiritual faculty come into play. And when the spiritual faculty come into place, the hindrance disappear. That's why the shift of consciousness will arise, and all of a sudden, the mind become bright and clear again. And that there is a type of special energy, virya, which is not energy field, which is just a state of brightness of mind, born of the radiant, because the spiritual faculty takes over. Then you realize that mind is very different. The hindrance of sloth and torpor also just disappear, because the spiritual faculty is there. So if you meditate this way, then you will understand a lot of things. And when you have this ability to be silent, all of the whatever condition arising, entity or phenomena that arise within your own form and mind, you will be able to witness them. You will be able to be aware of them. And the whole of that activity and movement, you don't use the thought to look for it. You will experience them and understand them very clearly, without words. So that is the real meditation and the real understanding. You don't go and look for it, react to it, or label it, or resist it. So this is one thing that many cultivators cannot understand. That's why if you cannot understand this is what you're supposed to develop to train, you cannot do it at all because you don't have the understanding. You are more interested in what is happening. That's why one thing to know is a thought, which is the curious thought that wants to know whether you have done it correctly or not, whether you have progressed along the path of Dhamma or meditation practice or not. That's why I say the key to developing the proper meditation is don't try to know, like I wrote on the whiteboard here. When you develop the awareness, after you relax the first support, you develop the awareness, don't try to know. Just allow the mind to be. And it will understand by itself. It will awaken by itself. Then when you start to maintain all this mindfulness, the 24 hour also, don't try to know. Just silent. The awakening will come by itself. The understanding will come by itself, not through the thought. That's why this is the awakening via the silent mind, which is beyond thought, beyond mind. That's why this sati must stabilize. You must maintain this silence more and more. But don't force it. Don't use the thought to try to be silent. You can never be silent. You just relax and aware. But to do this successfully, you need a lot of wisdom. You need a lot of contemplative wisdom. That's why you need to reflect, contemplate on the Four Noble Truths, the second turning. Until you understand the essential Dhamma very clearly, then the moment you understand them very clearly, you will have the ability to silence your mind. then only you have the ability to insight into phenomena. Because without the silent mind, you can never have the direct seeing. You can never insight into phenomena. You can never understand the characteristics of nature. You will only have knowledge of what they are through Dhamma. Yeah. And that is not the real insight. That is not the real awakening. So meditation requires a lot of understanding. That's why I say when you do without understanding, you will not progress. But when you develop and do the meditation through an understanding, then you will progress very fast. So relax is relaxing into every mind state that arises. That's what I have written here. That's why just now before I start, I said, you can understand the summary that is written on the whiteboard. That's why I didn't rub it off. You will understand the essential Dhamma. You will understand the Buddha's teaching. And you can actually awaken just based on what is written here. Then when it comes to heedfulness, when you train your mind to be ever mindful, this ever mindful must be in the midst of life. Not only when you are in a temple or in a meditation hall or in a retreat. That one is a conditioned state. When you slow everything down, no point. In the midst of life, when your senses are fully operational, alert, active, you can develop that mindfulness within life. That is what heedfulness is all about. Ever mindful and constantly meditative in the midst of life. That is the real meditation. All of formal meditation is just to train the mind to be aware, then stabilize it. So in a conducive environment like formal sitting or retreat or even meditation hall and places of cultivation, you find it easier to train the mind and easier to develop the stability of mindfulness because there is less distraction. Your senses are mostly down. Everybody within there keep precept. Then the setting is very conducive. Then you have a lot of good condition to train your mind. That's why it's like going to the gym initially. But after you train, you have to come out into life. You have to develop the ability to live life. That is what the Buddha meant by sati sampajana, daily mindfulness and clear comprehension of all action, all movement in the present moment, in the midst of life. And that is the real meditation. So when you have this understanding, you will progress very, very fast. And you will become very different within a very short span of training. Okay, you continue with your question. I haven't allow you to ask your question. You only describe, but I find it very important to make use of that first part to explain clearly to you and all those who may later also need to understand what you have to do. That's why I say when you understand the focus of meditation is very important. It's not what you do. Is how you understand what you do that will lead to the understanding of the essential Dhamma and the awakening. It is only wisdom that frees the mind, nothing else. If whatever you do doesn't result in this understanding or wisdom, especially the ability to silence the mind so that it can see things as they are, to insight into phenomena, so that the universal characteristics of impermanent suffering state and non-self, or anicchang dukkhang anatta, can be realized. If you cannot realize that three universal characteristics, sakkaya ditti will be very strong, you cannot break free. You can have a lot of Dhamma knowledge, but deep inside your thought, your consciousness, the self-delusion is so strong. It's impossible to root out until you insight into the three universal characteristics, until the mind understands clearly what Sankara is, just like the Buddha described to the monks. Sabbe sankhara anicchang, sabbe sankhara dukkhang, sabbe dhamma anatta. The moment you insight into it, all this become very clear. Then there is so much joy. Then there is so much gratitude towards the Buddha's teaching. Then you will have the tears, you will understand so clearly then the compassion towards living beings. No wonder living beings suffer so much. Because it's so difficult to penetrate, to understand clearly what the form and mind is all about, what this human being is all about, what the thought process is all about, sankhara. All of your mental activity, mental states, mental movement. All this is what sankhara is all about. Okay, now you continue your question. Very good. Thanks for your question. Good condition. Yes. Yeah.
It's only on reflection. Is it that only on reflection that we are further aware of
yeah.
the experiences
Correct.
Of our
That's right.
thing or meditation?
You have to reflect and contemplate after the meditation. When you are in the meditation, try not to do unless you're already very skillful. If you have not developed the stability of mindfulness and this understanding, then you don't try to know, don't try to contemplate when you are in the form of meditation. Just silent, relax, and sit through. Then the most important training is still the lying down meditation. End of the day, you have to go into that. Yeah, that is the one that can really stabilize the silent mind. I realize without the lying down meditation is very, very difficult. If you sit, you will go into samatha. Most people go into samatha. Yeah, that is the only way to keep the mind quiet, peaceful, in absorption, in concentration. But that is not a free mind. So if you sit and don't develop energy field, most of them, the hindrance set in. Because their spiritual faculty are not strong. They have not reflected the sadha and the virya leading to the daily mindfulness. They have not developed that. So that's why that type of mind cannot be silent and still. But if you have developed the daily mindfulness, that's why like that day at the Tuesday class, Diamond Sutta, those who attend, I think they will recall. You remember Xuan Hua, he actually explained. And there was one, I think, Zen master. I don't know which dynasty, I forgot, because there were many dynasties mentioned there. And his focus on meditation is one. He perfected the four posture. See? Great Zen master. Just do mindfulness of the four posture. And he took it very seriously, you know, and he perfected it. That's why he was very famous. So those who understand meditation, they will know, finally is the daily mindfulness, starting from the four posture. If four posture also you cannot be mindful, it is near to impossible to be mindful of all action and all movement. Where all action and all movement is to connect all the four posture and still maintain mindfulness in between. Means throughout the day, most of the time. Initially, it's your waking hour. Later on, you can be aware within your sleeping hour. The body sleep, rest. But the mind, the essence of mind is always there. Naturally aware. Naturally aware. So this one is important. Reflect. After you come out of the meditation, contemplate, reflect. What was it that you are doing? When I do that, what happened to me? Is the mind still chasing after meditation, reacting and doing all those things? Then when you reflect and contemplate, you have to recall to mind, what did the Buddha actually taught in his teaching? Why did he stress so much on heedfulness? And what is heedfulness? And then you start to understand Dhammapada verse 23. The constantly meditative, ever mindful. And these two you combine, it become apamada or heedfulness. Ever mindful means what? Throughout the day, most of the time, mindful. Have you developed that training? If you have not, then you have to. Then the purpose of formal meditation, like I explained to you all many, many times in the course of this Thursday class, Tuesday class, and even the Sunday class, you listen to the talk, it's always, most of the time, repeated, so that you all can understand. You are here to train your mind. That's why initially, because, like I always explain, the hindrances are there very powerful. Because most human beings, they don't have spiritual faculty. They are not strong. So hindrance of mind, very powerful. And throughout the day in daily life, most of the time, you are heedless. I mean, before you notice Dhamma and meditation. Most people are heedless because they are hardly mindful, correct? Not? Only when you come for meditation or you are in a formal meditation or in a retreat, then you try to maintain mindfulness. You try to be more calm and more peaceful. But apart from that, the rest of the day, you're hardly aware. The Buddha called it heedlessness. And heedlessness is the path to the dead. And why are you heedless? Because throughout the day, you arise the hindrance. Especially the first two, sensual desire, you will. Every moment of sense experience, when you see something, hear something, smell, tactile feel, taste or think, you always stir your mind or react or make your comment. Or based on your conditioning, your preference, you will actually label what you see, what you hear, and what you think. Then because of that, like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience, they arise. And this is what the Buddha calls sensual desire, you will. Positive craving is your desire for that sense experience. Negative craving is your ill will towards that sense experience. So your like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant, throughout the day you arise them and you react to them. And you get yourself entangled with it because you give meaning, you grasp, you cling, and through your conditioning, that is how you live your life. And every moment of sense experience, throughout the day you are doing that, until it becomes habitual. Habitual means what? No need to think. See only react, hear only react. And throughout the day, because you have been doing that, that heedless thinking, that's why a lot of people go into stress, depression, because you think and think and think until it becomes a habitual, repetitive thinking that I call cocoon of thought. The same line of thinking, same type of cocoon of thought manifests again and again until like tape recorder keep on running inside your mind, your brain. That's how the hindrance becomes so powerful. Then when you are stressed out, you are tired, you feel sleepy because you don't understand the importance of training the mind, meditation. Developing moment of peace, moment of silence to recuperate. You don't understand because you don't have the essential Dhamma. You don't understand the importance of spiritual faculty. Then your mind throughout the day has a lot of restlessness because it has a lot of problem. A lot of fear, worry, anxiety when you confront the first noble truth reality. So many things can make you restless, unhappy. Like we went through, health problem, relationship problem, financial problem, career problem, and the various type of life problem, like police case or whatever, then that fear that arise, it will project. And when it project or recall the unhappy past, it gives rise to fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation. That's how your mind becomes restless, not peaceful. Because there is this fear behind. There is this worry, anxiety constantly haunting you. And there are so many things in life that can make you worry, because through self-delusion you cling on to so many things. Your loved one, your possession, your career, your business, your property, your wealth, and everything that you have, relationship and meaning, that you give meaning to. Then the last one is doubt. When everything doesn't seem to work, doesn't go your way, like everything is not right, then you got a lot of doubt. You don't know what is happening in life. And what you do is you go and believe people. It is because of feng shui. Then you spend a lot of money and yet you become worse. Or you go to fortune teller. Or you go to the medium and ask them for all those type of help. But the bottom line is law of karma. That one you never take care. And you gullibly go and do all those things. That's why this doubt is because you don't have the understanding, the faith in the Buddha and his teaching. So the hindrance that are so powerful will make you heedless throughout the day. So when you are heedless, what must you do? The first thing is you go and train your mind. That's why training your mind is very important. And this one you do every time you have time. That's why you must establish a religious routine. You don't wait until Thursday class or Tuesday class and Sunday class, or when there is a retreat only, you go in and train. Then the rest of the day, let's say 1 week, you got 7 days. Once a week, you come 2 hours, you attentively train, listen. That is good. But 7, 8 of the day time, you are heedless, back to like normal heedless living. So how can you train? If you're on the train, you have to do it continuously. That's why your daily mindfulness, your daily religious routine is very important. You need to build it up. And your daily religious routine, which is your puja and all those things, is to build up the spiritual faculty so that it will naturally overcome the hindrance. Pay attention to this and do this more and more. Then your meditation becomes very easy. I tell you, don't have to train. You don't have to sit and every time train. Decondition the heedless thinking, then do anapanasati to stabilize it. Then after that, heedless again for 6 over days, then come back and train again. No point. Thus I have a religious routine. Every day before you sleep, when you wake up, do your puja. Then do your whatever, chanting or whatever. Then meditation. Then in between, whenever you are free, then in the midst of life, maintain mindfulness throughout the day. And when you pay respect to the Buddha or to whatever Bodhisattva and Buddha that you have affinity with, every day before you leave your house, pay respect. When you come back, pay respect. That was what I did during the early years of training. Then wherever I saw the altar, I go to temple or what, first thing I do, I go and pay respect first. Then I have a lot of faith. Then it drives me. Then I have a lot of gratitude towards the Buddha. And then I recollect the teaching. Then I silence my mind. Then I maintain mindfulness throughout the day. That's how my meditation progress. If without this training, it's very difficult. So off and on, you go for formal meditation. Then the rest of the day, you are back to square one, heedless. Go back to your normal way of living, you are hardly mindful. Very difficult to progress. The real progress can only come when you have heedfulness in the midst of life. That's why daily mindfulness. And in many parts of the talk, I also mentioned, without daily mindfulness, you have yet to start the day, the real meditation. The actual vipassana starts when you have daily mindfulness develop and stabilize, that is the real training. That is the real meditation. Then if you are ever mindful already, most of the time, you not only cultivate four foundational mindfulness, because when you have already established your mindfulness, means your four foundation is quite good. Then you should go into Noble Eightfold Path, reflect, contemplate on the right view until very, very clear. Then from there, expand on the essential Dhamma, how it's all connected and linked. Just like the Diamond Sutta, they give the analogy of the Sutta like these beads that you link together for chanting. In a similar way, a sutta is for you to develop the understanding, and to have the ability, you must have the ability to link all the essential Dhamma into one clear essential Dhamma. That's why all of the Buddha's teachings spin off from the Four Noble Truths, which is the essence of his teaching, and that is the essential Dhamma. Then when you come to understand that all the rest spin off from there, then you must be able to link and connect them back. If you cannot do that, means you have yet to develop the clear understanding of the essential teaching or essential Dhamma or what the Buddha has taught. Not until you can link, you are still far away from understanding the essential Dhamma that the Buddha has taught. So these are the things that you need to reflect upon clearly. That's why what you mentioned just now, Susan, was very good. After the meditation, you reflect, you contemplate. Then you start to understand, what was it I was doing? Am I developing the heedfulness, the training? If I already heedful, am I developing the daily religious routine to maintain daily mindfulness so that the mind can be more and more quiet, peaceful and silent and still, then it can insight into phenomena. So all these are very important. Then only you can understand all of the what they call movements within life. If you are not even mindful in the midst of life, like I used to explain, we can correlate life to existence. To exist is to go to existence. So exist time, existence is time related. To exist is to go through time. So the whole of the field or spectrum of time, we can divide into past, present and future, and we have gone into it. And without mindfulness, without heedfulness, you cannot cope with the three period of time, where they are not reality. They are delusion created by thought. Thought project and create the future. And thought project and create the past. That's why they become like real. Then whatever that is within the moment, thought is not interested. Your thought does not want to be with the moment. But it cannot be with the moment. It is always thinking. So as we know, past is already gone, not a reality. Future yet to come, also not a reality. But thought is very interested in these two. That's how you get yourself entangled, understand? Yeah, these are not reality. The thought always says, if I have not done this, if I have not gone there, if this person don't come, then all this. But these are not reality. And when you recall the unhappy past cause of marriage, if they have not done this to me, I would have not suffered like that. But it's not a reality, it's only a thought. Holding on, grasping on, giving so much meaning. And when you think the wrong thought, things that are unfit for attention, what happens? The asava become more and more. That's why you suffer, you become miserable. Your mind state is so badly afflicted. Then you have to ask yourself, if the past is not a reality, future also not a reality, then what is the only reality in life? That's why the present moment. And present moment is such, moment to moment life passes by. What are you doing? What are you doing? you are most of the time heedless. I mean, before you know how to meditate, before you develop this understanding, you think a lot. You are too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life. So much so, you never live. We have to live life is to be with the moment. Yeah, this is the only reality in life. Huh? To be with the moment means what? You have to be silent. Then you can live the moment, feel the moment. Otherwise, you are too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life. And this is heedless living because you are never attentive. You are never aware of what is happening. You can never develop the understanding and the wisdom. And your mind is never peaceful, never silent, never with the moment to experience all of the beauty and wonders of life. You only project your thought, think a lot, worry a lot. So knowing that this is the reality, and yet you don't train your mind to be more and more mindful and peaceful, so that it can be with the moment more and more, more and more. There is no way you can understand life. There is no way you can really live life. Because throughout the day, the hindrance will be there, very powerful. So meditation is about understanding. So this brings back one good condition. This book, based on the talk that I gave in Klang, is almost ready now. I just got it from Padma Suri and Brother Tium. This was based on a talk when I delivered in Klang last year, 3rd of October 2014. The title was Emptiness, chosen by Brother Khan. And it's a very good talk. I just read to you this part, so that you can develop the understanding. Okay. The three phases of Dhamma, Pariyatti, Patipatti, and Pativeda. It is wrong thought that triggers of fear, worry, anxiety, and the three evil roots. Hence, when you are without thought, there will be no fear. See? So beautiful, eh? No worry, no anxiety, no sorrow, no lamentation, and no attachment. This is because thought cannot move. Understand not? That's why you don't have a problem. Hence, it cannot project into the future and recall the unhappy past. It does not recall the scars of memories to trigger of fear, worry, and anxiety. There will be no wrong view to condition you to react and stir your mind. To be able to be with the moment in silent awareness to live life need a lot of wisdom. Listen to this. The mind need not do anything. See? Just be silent. Then it can experience the pristine stillness and great beauty of nature. Every moment, every instant, things are so pristine and beautiful when thought does not interfere. Can you understand that? When thought does not interfere. That's why you need to be silent more and more. Can you live that type of life, which is Pativeda, or the third phase of Dhamma, where you are able to reap the fruit of your Dhamma cultivation, leading to your ability to live the noble life of true peace and joy of an enlightened being? This is what meditation is all about. You cannot be silent within the moment. You cannot live life. You cannot experience all those beautiful and wonderful things about life. Those who think a lot has a lot of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. They will have a lot of problems. And they don't know how to live. And because they don't know how to live, they don't know how to die. They become miserable when they confront the First Noble Truth reality. Especially death, or disease, separation, and all those things. Then I continue. My advice to you is to work hard on the first two phases of Dhamma. Phase one is Pariyatti, which is the learning or the teaching or the doctrine. Phase two is the Dhamma. Sorry, phase two of the Dhamma is Patipatti, which is putting the teaching into practice, or the Dhamma into practice in daily life. Don't be too eager to start phase two cultivation. One has to get the Pariyatti cultivation clearly understood first. Because when you understand, you can cultivate with understanding and meditate with understanding. Then Patipatti, which is to put the Dhamma into practice in daily life, will become much easier. And you will penetrate the Dhamma much faster. Before this talk, I was sharing the same subject matter with Brother Tay. I told him one cannot cultivate and meditate on something that one does not understand. Do you agree? Yeah? If you don't understand that topic, you cannot do it, like meditation. You don't even know what is meditation and you want to meditate. You are the most gullible. Yeah, you believe, you never investigate. So you cannot meditate when you don't understand what is meditation. Because that word is very, very loose, subject to interpretation. And you don't find out the true meaning, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. You can never, never develop the meditation. That's why you realize many of my transcript book title, I put Understanding the Meditation as Taught by the Buddha. Because anybody can teach meditation. Any mental training is meditation. But the Buddha Dhamma is very different. That one is very unique. That's why you must differentiate from the rest. Then I read on. If you wish to realize the truth, you must first understand what truth is. You do not understand because you never inquire and investigate into it. Now, this is where the problem is. So now I explain to you. Take for example, if you do not inquire, why did the Buddha ask you to chant during every puja service? The salutation to the Buddha, Dhamma and the Sangha, we are chanting Ittipiso, Bhagava, Arahang and so on. Then you can become gullible. It is for you to develop the faith in him and his teaching. We are knowing who the Buddha is and how special and wonderful his teaching is. Also to understand what is the Dhamma, we are chanting Suakato Bhagavata Dhammo, etc. So that you understand that the Dhamma or truth as taught by the Buddha is Sanditiko, Akaliko, Ehipasiko and Opanayiko, then Pachyatang Veditabo Vinohiti. What are all these? You have to reflect, contemplate and understand them clearly. Because these are the true Dhamma. Sanditiko means this Dhamma can be realized in the here and the now. Akaliko means the Dhamma is beyond thought, beyond time. Ehipasiko means the Dhamma can stand up to investigation. Then Opanayiko, what is its meaning? It means leading inward towards the heart to trigger off the realization of Nibbana. If it does not lead you back to your true nature, true mind, to awaken, to realize Nibbana, then that is not the true Dhamma. Then the last characteristic is Pachyetang, which means this Dhamma can only be realized by the wise, each by themselves. So when you meditate, you may think you are already enlightened and had realized the Dhamma, but you never check whether this Dhamma has been realized. Sorry, that this Dhamma you had realized is Sanditiko and Akaliko or not. If you did not even put it to investigation or test, then there is no Ehipasiko. Similarly, if you do not even check whether there is Opanayiko leading inwards towards the heart, but instead, all the while you use thought, then definitely there is no Pachyetang, because there is no wise one inside there to realize anything. It is all just knowledge. That so-called enlightenment will be enlightenment according to you. That's why all this puja that the Buddha teaches is to allow you to develop the wisdom, not to be deluded by what people tell you. Have an open mind and investigate into everything. If it is the truth, it will stand up to investigation. It will lead to the correct realization. the correct awakening. Hopefully before 10 o'clock, I can finish my talk. That one was at the Klang talk. I had already told you all, moment to moment life passes by, and as real as it can be, it's only within that moment, that split second. So you cannot see that clearly with insight. You will continue to perceive life as very real. That's why Sakkaya Ditthi, self-delusion. Then understanding life. Since birth until now, you cannot deny that you had lived those phases of life. Can I ask you one question? Is it real, all of these moments of life that you have lived? It's already gone, isn't it? It is the past. Even this moment after I speak, it's already gone, dead and gone. As real as can be. Everything is just within the moment. And split second, it is dead and gone. Awaken to this reality. That's why when you have daily mindful, you will see very clearly. It's just like that. Very fleeting, not what you think. If you cannot see their impermanence characteristic, you will attach, cling, and deludedly grasp at it via giving it meaning. That is the reason why the phenomenal world has such power over you. Because you deludedly grasp and cling onto what your consciousness tell you, what your perception tell you, what all your views, opinions, and conditioning tell you. That is what human beings that are deluded and heedless will do, because they cannot see the unreality of form and mind. The truth is, moment to moment, life passes by, and split second, it is dead and gone. So how real can life be? Then you should ask yourself this question. Why did Kuan Yin Bodhisattva say that the five aggregates of form and mind are empty and unreal? Is this statement true? Very true, isn't it? Because split second is gone, split second is gone. So how real can it be? As real as it can be, is only within the moment. And the next moment, it is gone. But there is another saying in the Heart Sutra. Kuan Yin Bodhisattva never give you false hope. Kuan Yin Bodhisattva said, true emptiness is wonderful existence. That is why the enlightened ones, they understand. He said, even though it is within the conditioned world, like not so real, because moment to moment, the condition arising phenomena just slip away. But there is such thing as life, because with the wisdom connected to this five aggregate of form and mind, this five aggregate of form and mind is no longer deluded. As such, it can truly live life to the fullest. It can be with the moment, with silent inner awareness, to truly appreciate all of the beauties and wonders of life, just like what I have told you all just now. Hence, experiencing the third phase of Dhamma Pativeda, which is the most beautiful part of one's life, is also the fruition of your cultivation. For you to get to enjoy the fruit of your hard work. That is, even though we are living within the conditioned world and everything is so unreal, but there is such thing as life. So this understanding is very, very profound and very beautiful, very meaningful. Then with that wisdom, you will understand profound true emptiness. You will penetrate the Dhamma and life becomes wonderful and meaningful. That is the reason why when you have good food, if you do not want to eat because you think you are very spiritual and you must not have craving for good food, then pass it to me. I will eat it. Because you may think, hey, I'm very spiritual, no? Because I'm a cultivator, so I must not have craving. And to you, going after good food is craving. If that is so, then you bring, I will eat. What was the Buddha's advice? Yes, not to attach to good food. He never say you cannot eat good food. The Buddha, during his time, he was invited to the palace. And do you think the king gave him very simple food? Ananda Pindika, do you think he cooked very simple food for the Buddha? They cook the best, and they will try to offer the best. So when you understand, you are not deluded. It is not to say that you cannot have good food, good things. You only need to have the wisdom not to deludedly hold on to it, cling on to it, and grasp onto it. Because they never belong to anybody. They are just conditioned arising, causal phenomena, and not real. Moment to moment, they change, they transform. And every moment is a different moment. Can you understand? That is why with wisdom, when you penetrate the Dhamma, you will see things so clearly, so differently. With that, I shall end my today's sharing. So this is a very beautiful talk. That's why I say wait till this book come out. I hope to get it out before the end of this month. We should be able to get it out. Yeah. I will finish all the checking by this 15th. After I come back from Macau, then I'll pass to Pamasuri and President Tiong to print the hard copy. Then we send for printing. This one, you must print minimum 500 copies. This one will help a lot of people. This book, I tell you, you will be very surprised. That's why you read through, you will know. Many forces try to stop that talk that day. You read through, you will know it's all mentioned inside there. Then there were so many things that were shared inside there. The whole of the Heart Sutta, emptiness, very beautiful. Then I even mentioned about the what Anisata. You know what is Anisata, na? How many of you didn't attend this talk? Oh, so many. Wow. This Anisata, I didn't even know there is such a sutta until I saw it on Facebook 1 week before the talk. Then I also expounded Anatta Lakkhana Sutta there very clearly. That's why this book, when it come out, it is very beautiful. So Anisata, page 13. I read to you what is Anisata. Oh, good, today we still got time, 20 minutes more. So Anisata, I will now share with you the Anisata. Anybody heard of this Anisata? A-N-I. I think this sutta was seldom spoken. During the Buddha's time, the Buddha spoke this sutta. I only came to know about this sutta a week ago when I noticed a Facebook posting by Brother Yuban, a Dhamma friend from Babs. I thought it was interesting. How is it that there is such a sutta which I had not come across previously? I thought to myself that it was indeed coincidental and timely. Because the following week, I will be delivering this talk on emptiness. Then last week, Brother T had mentioned he is afraid when you all see the title of the talk, you all may not turn up for the talk. Because it is as if everything is empty, is it? And thus, what is the point of listening to the talk? In order to generate faith, this sutta seems to have suddenly surfaced just at the right time for the talk. That's why a lot of things that happen is not kam ngam kam kiu, and it's meant to be. I printed it out from the internet. It should help you a lot. In this sutta, the Buddha said, during the Dhamma ending age, the Dhamma will disappear when people do not believe the true words of the Buddha, especially so when this topic on emptiness or sunyata is being taught as the profound deep teaching. I will read from the sutta so that you can better understand. So staying as Savati, the Buddha told the monk, there once was a time the Dasharathas, they had a large drum called the Samana. Every time when they wanted to summon or call its people to meet to discuss certain matter, they would use this drum. They call it the Samana. When Samana was split, do you know what they would do? The Dasharathas will insert another peg into the drum. And eventually, over time, the Samana's original wooden body disappear, and only a conglomerate of peg remain. Why? That is because so many peg has been inserted. You know the meaning, huh? So many difference of views and opinion. Huh? So too it is with disagreement among people. That's why during the ancient day, is the same. Now also same. When there are too many disagreements, like what is happening now, you can see for yourself. Just like the Samana, the Theravada tradition itself is also divided into so many fractions, such as by method, technique, teachers, interpretation and commentaries, etc. During the Buddha's time, there was only one teacher and one teaching. True or not? Now so many methods, so many techniques, so many teachers. Then so many divisions. You got Vipassana and all that. And Vipassana also so many types. Now it is not so, because later came Mahayana and Vajrayana, and both these traditions also divide into so many more factions. Now you understand how the many packs went in until the drum also no more. The Buddha said, in the same way, in the course of time, in the future, there will be monks who will not listen when the discourse, which are words of the Tathagata, very deep in their meaning, transcendental, the word transcendental means transcending the thinking mind, the mundane mind, the rational mind, the conditioned arising mind, connected with emptiness and sunyata, are being recited. They will not lend ears. They will not set their hearts on knowing them. They will not regard this teaching as worth grasping or mastering. But when they hear the discourse that are literary works, the work of famous poet, elegant in sound and elegant in rhetoric, the word of outsider, the word of so-called disciple that are recited, they will lend their ears and set their hearts on knowing them. They will regard this teaching as worthy, worth grasping and mastering. In this way, the disappearance of the discourse, which are words of the Tathagata, very deep in their meaning, transcendental, connected with sunyata and emptiness, will come to be. Yeah? Very pitiful. Huh? Isn't this pitiful? Just because you do not believe or do not have an open mind, all this misunderstanding can arise. Because when I deliver that talk in Klang, I asked Brother Khan why he asked me to choose to talk on this topic. He said, Brother, Theravada don't have such teaching, only Mahayana got emptiness. We only got anicchang dukkang anatta. Then he said, no such thing as emptiness. Then Brother said, everything, empty and non-existent. No, they use the word void. But he initially in the introduction, he said, like Kuan Yin Bodhisattva said, the five aggregate of form and mind, when she illuminated upon them, they were all empty. Then he added in the word non-existent. The Buddha never said non-existent. No. There is such thing as a human being. No. But it's empty. No. So the meaning is different. Unreal is correct. But not non-existent. No. The form and mind exists. God. But not you. So because of that, a lot of people, they tend to have this, what they call concern. They thought this is Mahayana teaching. They rather don't have this. So a lot of them very scared of this teaching, you know, emptiness. Then I asked them, what is this word sunyata? It's a Pali word, isn't it? Correct or not? It's from the Theravada tradition, isn't it? Oh, you say don't have such teaching? The only thing is not elaborated, isn't it? But the word is there, isn't it? So, the Dhamma is the same, whether it's emptiness or anatta. The deep meaning of anatta is also empty. And of course, it includes non-self and all those things. Not a permanent, unchanging entity. I read on, this one you will understand. Just because you do not have an open mind, all this misunderstanding can arise. Why can't you have an open mind and listen? This one very important. If you cannot understand, then just let things be. Fair, right? This statement fair not? Fair not? But when the time comes, when you can understand, you will appreciate the deep, profound meaning. You should have an open mind and investigate into everything. If that teaching can transform living beings and bring about great benefits and transformation in you, and what you are doing has actually made you stagnate and remain the same, then why must you doubt? Understand? You have been doing that same meditation for the last 20, 30, 40 years. And he has not transformed you in any real way. Why can't you just give yourself a chance? It is not to say you give others a chance. It is to you yourself. Because your karma, your own karma, your karmic nature depends on this understanding. If it happens to be the truth, then what happens? What happens? You regret like shit. You will miss it. Do understand that you have nothing to lose by having an open mind to investigate the new things. If you cannot understand this, then very difficult to make you understand the Dhamma, because the actual Dhamma is a lot more profound. That's all. But this is very simple logic, isn't it? Having an open mind. Clear or not? But human being is very scared of change. That's all. Very scared of new things. Because unfamiliar ground. And you always cling to the known. Familiar ground. Like your job. You know, lousy, they underpay you, they mistreat you. Yet you complain, but you never resign. You say, I need the job. Then later on, anatta lakkhana sutta. Actually, this talk, fantastic, I tell you. When you read through, when it come out, I tell you, it will wake up the community, the Buddhist community. You will have a very, very different understanding of the Dhamma. And it is going to be so penetrative because it is so clearly written and so clearly explained. But because it's in the recording, you all never got this though. That's why I say at that time when you listen, some of them who follow me on, they appreciate a lot, they know this talk very good. That's why you all should thank Padmasuri. He volunteered to do the transcript. And this transcript came out beautifully. That's why after I edited it, I saw, oh, it's so beautiful. Just 2 hour plus because of Q&A talk. Oh, less than 2 hour. Yeah, we started late. Supposed to start 8:30, delay 15 minutes because of chanting and the recording problem. Then after that, we end, I think, before 10, 15 or what. So just that 1 hour to 2 hour talk, we cover so much Dhamma, and they are so profound and so beautiful. I even share that Mandarin song, Wang Si Zi Neng Hui Wei. It's all inside there, very beautiful. Padmasuri know how to translate Mandarin very good. And then you should thank also those who help out, Eng Bi, they are. Sister, what's her name, Ellen, and Chui, and many, many others. So all this come about because of condition. So this book, when it come out, you better go back and read and read and read and pay attention. The other very good one is the Wu Ping Jing Shi On. I'm in the midst of doing the updating and editing. That one also, the last Satipatthana class. Like the last, the Last Supper, Christianity. The last lecture on the Satipatthana. Wow, that one very good. Summarize all of Satipatthana. That one, after Ingbi heard the talk, she straight away volunteered to transcribe. And she did it very well. She put all the time there, so it saved me a lot of time. The time slot of the recording. So every time I want to continue, I don't have to go and look for the recording where. Last time I have to go and look for it. So now no need, all the time are there. So I just on the thing. I wish you thank Sui An and Mi Fong also. The recording, he really did a great job. The record so clear, no, the recording. And you listen and read. I tell you, you will love it like anything. Because the tone, the voice, when you listen, is different from reading. Unless you have this Dhamma understanding, then you will enjoy reading every minute of it. But if you don't have, you better listen. Because the listening is very different. The tone, it will wake you up. The presentation and all those things. So, with that, I think I have answered your question, Susan. Sadhu, thank you for asking. We should rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So, this year, like last year, a lot of transcript came out. Never before, so many. And they are so beautiful. And actually, all this recording, they are very important in time to come. When you start to develop the cultivation and have the understanding of the essential Dhamma, I tell you, when you listen again with understanding, you got so much joy, because that talk, all this talk, they are meant for cultivator of all level. Whatever level you are, you can develop understanding. But you can only receive up to the level of your cultivation and understanding. Because whatever that is beyond, you cannot understand yet. That's why you need to cultivate. As you cultivate, you develop more understanding, more clarity. Then you listen again, you read again. The whole Dhamma become different. It will like shine forth. Then it will become like so much clearer. Then you ask yourself, all the while the teaching was there, how come I never have the ability to understand and appreciate? That's why a lot of people, they cannot understand. They read like very dry, very dull. Maybe they are not familiar with my language. My language is really hopeless. It's all spoken. So when you put in writing, I tell you, very difficult to understand. We got all our slang. Then this one, luckily, I think I must specifically mention Chui. Chui helped out a lot. She was the one that actually point out to me my colloquial English. A lot wrong one. Every time I ask, understand or not. He said, written one, don't have that one. Do you understand? Don't have understand or not. And throughout the talk, a lot of understand or not. So I say, thank you so much. Because that was how my way of communicating or speaking is like. Because if you listen and you are familiar with the way I express it, and then it's easy to understand. But he said, Bhattio, your book needs a wider audience, is it? Oh, I say, got such thing as wider audience. I say, for me, very simple, like I wrote in the preface, got affinity, wu yan, they receive. Bo yan, no more affinity, is okay. But I do appreciate, what he suggested was very good. She used to edit book one, help people to do up all these things. That's why when she read my that one, she really give up, is it? She got to spend so much time correcting all over. But then I realized after I read that the Dhamma also run after he correct. I say I have to go in between. I have to just do what that is needed for it to like sound better. You read this book, you will come to understand that actually a lot of the colloquial English has been modified and taken out. Because in the preface, this is the first time we change it. I incorporated what she wrote. As these notes were mostly compiled based on transcript from the recording of the talk, the text is aligned as closely as possible to the colloquial speech in the talk. This is a new one. With some editorial amendment to the text without distracting from the essence of the talk. See, she put it in. Very good of her. With this, it is hoped that readers can adjust themselves accordingly to better understand its true meaning and intent. A good way to do that, to do this, is to listen to the recording first before reading the transcript note. To listen to the recording, you can download the talk at this link or contact Brother Suyang. So this one is a much improved version. Colloquial English has been actually greatly reduced. He told me normally people write book not more than 2 understand or not. also much change. Do you understand? But we all standard English, Malaysian. Understand or not? Is it okay? isn't it right? Last time I used to have one teacher, every time he teach, isn't it? That word every time appear, no? Until people call him Mr. Isn't It. So you can call me Mr. Understand or not. So anyway, we should rejoice and thank all those Kayamita who has made the effort to create the causes and conditions for this book to be printed finally. And all Kayanamita will partake in the wholesomeness. We will use Kayanamita fund to bear the cost, to pay for it. So we rejoice together. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, any more questions? One last one. You got 6 minutes left. Any more questions? Don't have means we can end earlier. First time I never take extra time. Okay, we will do the sharing of merits, transfer of merits, then we all can end. Okay, recall to mind all of the wholesomeness that we have developed over the past 2 hours or 2 hours plus. And we would like to invoke the power of merits so that we can share them with all beings, starting with the sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata cha bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakkhantu loka sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabasampati siddhya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer merits to departed ones. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. let this marriage accrue to our departed relatives and all those who can receive them, and may they all too be well and happy always. We will invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo asat kalena sasa sampati hetu cha fito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers, be righteous. Then you make your aspiration. Itmina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samogamo hotu yawa ivana patiya. By the grace of this marriage that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one, until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Sakyamuni Buddha. Then we end.
So quick announcements. First thing is next week is a holiday. July 9 is a holiday. Brother Teo is away in Macau. And July 16, 23rd, 30th and August the 6th. That means for 4 Thursdays after that, it will be in Brother Teon and Sister Padmasuri's house, which is number 15, USJ 18/2B. All right, I've sent out the notice together with a map, a waste coordinate. You click on that and then you good, take you straight by waste there. We are away for 1 month. Mifo and myself, we are away for 1 month. Then the class will resume here on August the 13th, which is the second Thursday of August. All right.
We should rejoice and thank Brother Suyan and Mifong for allowing us to use this place for so long, 6 over years. Huh? Yeah, it's sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And we really rejoice with the Kayanamita ship too. Because many people have told me, he said, our Kayanamita is very different. And when they meet us, they really were amazed. Even those who joined us at the Sumeru retreat today, one night, they came and reported me, they said, "Brother Teo is so different." Actually, earlier on, there was one lady, quite new, she came to Teo. She said, "You never knew that your Kayamita is so friendly, so warm, and so different. They are so sincere, so helpful." Until she went for the Sumeru retreat. And after that, she got so much joy now. She bring food also. She also learned to rejoice. And she has so much faith. Her mind is now so calm, so different from last time. So we should rejoice. That's why when you have the understanding, when you start to develop the clear understanding of the Dhamma, even before you awaken, you're already beautiful. In the sense that you have changed. you have developed clear understanding of what you have to do and what you cannot do, and that heedfulness is the beginning of Dhamma cultivation, and that will transform you into more and more beautiful living beings. And because of your connection and affinity with the Kayanamitas, we can actually help you walk the path of Dhamma, because they support each other. And the Kayanamita Fund is developed and geared towards this purpose, to help every Kayanamitas. So as long as you have faith, then you sincere, you only need to persevere, you will have great results. So this is the message. So once again, I rejoice with all your wholesomeness. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. I really rejoice because there are many very keen and very serious cultivators, and many of you have progressed so much. Some of you progress without you knowing. When the time comes, you will know. So these are very beautiful. Okay. Good night. Yeah, sadhu. Not really a holiday, actually. I supposed to go with Alicia, because her good friend is there. So see the condition, how she wants me to help her. So these are all the conditions.